Today, I've entitled my devotion as Trusting God for the New Year. So thank you, Brother Mark, for reading the scripture text for today. Just as an introduction, as we come to the end of the year, I think many of us will have a lot of feelings, a lot of sentiments, a lot of reflections as we look back at the past year. And also many of us would be starting to think about the new year. And the new year will start very soon, just in a couple of days' time, within the same week. Students may be wondering, what the new school year will be like, whether they are in secondary school, JC, university, or polytechnics. Working adults will be wondering again, is my new year going to be busy again come 2nd or 5th of January? And some of us are in seasons of change. Some have taken on new roles, new responsibilities, new decisions. And really, as we look at all of these transitions, they can both be exciting, but also stressful. And as we enter into the new year, there are certain things that have not changed. For example, some of the wars have continued for several years now, and it doesn't seem to abate. Some of the economic troubles that we are facing may linger on some more into the new year. And as we enter into the new year, we may enter with a bit of excitement as well as anxiety. So the questions we may ask ourselves could be, in this new year, will I be making the right choices? What if things don't work out the way I hope? And I'd like to submit to us that Psalm 37 does speak to some of these anxieties, and it does help us to set our perspectives right as we face the new year, not with fear, but with trust in the Lord. So Psalm 37 is written by King David sometime later in his life. And we know King David has a lot of ups and downs in his life where he has seen great success in his early years when he scored a heroic victory over Goliath, and how he rose from a shepherd boy to one who is king of all Israel. He's one who is embodied in scripture as a man after God's own heart. And yet we've seen great failure in his life as well, when he committed adultery and murder, when his family was in disorder. He has experienced waiting. He has experienced fear. He experienced prosperity. He experienced the faithfulness of God in all of these. So as we consider this psalm, we see in the first verse that was written by David, and he begins by saying, Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against workers of iniquity. And as we look at the world around us, we continue to see a lot of evildoers, people who are just yielding to their own fleshly passions, gaining things for themselves. Here we are taught not to fret, not to be disturbed, not to be angsty or totally troubled by these evildoers. And these evildoers are those who would say in their hearts that there is no God. And they are also called in scripture as workers of iniquity. While they seem to prosper, while they seem to live in lives with less trouble, yet there is a definite end. Right? And we do not need to envy, we do not need to be jealous of their prosperity, because whatever they have is temporal. And if we are honest with ourselves, it is easier said than done. And really, we do see ourselves often tempted to fret as we see people prospering, not working hard, but yet getting all the benefits. Whereas we who have labored, continue to labor on without seeing some of the fruits of our labor. But what ought to be our response is really in verse 2, knowing that they shall soon be cut off like the tree and like the grass, and they shall wither like the green herb or the tree. Why is this so? Because God has promised that vengeance is His, and one day He will judge all. And all men will get their just deserts. So as we think about all of these, we are told not to be anxious. And in the subsequent three verses, there are three steps that we are exhorted to take so that we can be led into the new year. So the first is to trust in the Lord and to do good in verse 3. Second, to delight ourselves in the Lord. That's in verse 4. And thirdly, to commit our ways unto the Lord. And that's in verse 5. So what does it mean to trust in the Lord? I think by now, a lot of us already know to trust in the Lord is to lean fully upon the Lord and not to rely on our own strength. It's really resting our whole weight on God, just like how we would rest our whole weight on our chairs that we sit on now or on the wall that we lean against. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. And because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, it is more sure and guaranteed when we trust God and His character and not ourselves, our plans, or our circumstances. And in the Westminster Confession, yeah, we read of these words, right? When we ask ourselves, who is God? God is infinite, eternal, unchangeable in His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. So we can really trust God as how the patriarchs in times of old have trusted Him. If we recall, Abraham obeyed God and left his home of comfort in a nice modern city of Ur, not knowing whither he went. He trusted God one step at a time. And in doing so, God honored him. In the honor roll of the heroes of faith, God honored him by promising him that he will have descendants as much as the sands of the sea and the stars in the sky. And we today, on hindsight, can see how the Lord has fulfilled His promise in that we are also Abraham's seed as we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So trusting in God means that we continue to seek Him, to seek His word. We continue to seek Him in prayer. And when things don't go our way, we continue to believe that His ways are higher than our ways. His plans are wiser than ours. And as we trust in the Lord, we are also exhorted to do good. What does it mean to do good? To do good is not just about doing good to others around us, which is very important. Yeah, basically, living the golden rule, doing unto others how we would like to be treated, how we ought to love our neighbor as ourselves. But doing good is also about being diligent, exercising diligence in our own walk with the Lord. Being faithful to where the Lord has and what the Lord has entrusted us. So as we wait upon the Lord, as we trust in the Lord, it doesn't mean that we do nothing, but we are to remain faithful to His calling. We are to remain obedient to His will, and we are to continue to do what is right, even though it may be hard in the world that we live in, wherever God has placed us. And doing good is something that the world talks a lot about, but in actual fact, only God knows the hearts. So by being faithful today in the labor, in our spiritual labor, in our physical labor, in the labor, in the vocation that we are called in this world, will then prepare us to receive the fruits that the Lord prepares for us tomorrow. So secondly, we are asked to delight ourselves in the Lord. And to delight ourselves in something is, again, something very fleshly as we know it. But to delight ourselves in the Lord really means taking a lot of joy and pleasure in God Himself. And again, the natural man doesn't seek after the Lord. And we who are believers sometimes are drawn away by things of this world. And we may not seek the things of the Lord at times as well. But here we are exhorted to return, to take joy, take comfort in knowing the Lord. And when we know the Lord and when we are delighting ourselves, we are delighting ourselves in reading His word, in spending much time in prayer, in talking to Him, in communion with Him, and enjoying fellowship with Him and His people. And we would know whether we delight in the Lord by the desires of our hearts, which will be our third point later. And when we delight in the Lord, we will also see a change in our lives, in our hearts, in the way our desires are shaped. We no longer ask God to give us what I want, what I desire, but we are then changed to praying, oh Lord, give us what you want and make my desire, or make your desire my desire too. Right? So really, we also know that the Lord will not give us everything that we ask for. And sometimes he would want us to wait. Sometimes he would say no. But when we trust in him and when we delight ourselves in him, then we will know that what he gives to us or withholds from us will be the greatest joy that we can enjoy. And this is really something that continues to be part of our sanctification as we walk through life's journey. And thirdly, as we commit our ways unto the Lord, you know, the way the word commit is really to roll our burdens upon or onto somebody else. And here we are exhorted, as in other parts of scripture, how we are called to cast our cares upon him, for he careth for us. And here is a picture of us rolling all our burdens upon the Lord. And as we have plans, as we have aspirations, again, it is not us doing things our way, but to surrender the control of the outcomes to him. And when we commit all our plans to the Lord, then we will, in a way, lessen the burden upon ourselves or relieve ourselves of the burden of some of these, yeah, and putting it on the Lord, who graciously invites us to do so. And whilst we cannot control every outcome, we can commit all our plans in this new year to the Lord, whether it be our studies, our work, our future plans, our aspirations. And let God be our GPS in that sense to guide us. Let us not think ahead and anticipate what the Lord can do for us. And it doesn't mean to let go and let God do whatever he wills, but it's really to submit ourselves, to let him lead us, because we already know that he knows the entire journey that he has mapped out for us. So to commit our way unto him is really to surrender our will, our control to him, and continue to trust him as he unveils each step of the journey for us. And if we can really commit and do these three steps as we step into the new year, then we will inherit God's promise that he will bring these to pass. And this is the assurance that God gives, right? It is something that in the past year we would have also experienced, that by committing ourselves to the Lord, it doesn't mean that life will be easy. It doesn't mean that there will be no setbacks or disappointments. But it does mean that we will be able to see and sense and know that God is at work in our lives. And as we walk with him in the new year, as we have walked with him in the past one year, we will realize that as we trust him, he's going to show us great and mighty things that we know not. And we are going to experience joy and peace. We are also going to experience the great promises that will come to pass. And God's timing is always perfect. So as we enter into the new year in just a day's time, maybe as we take moments of quiet reflection, we could ask ourselves, what do I need to trust God with in this coming year? How can I delight more in him than in the things of this world in this coming year? And how I can commit myself and all of these plans, anxieties, fears, aspirations to him? And in doing so, that I can learn to trust him more. So may the Lord help us as we enter into the new year, not alone, but with the Lord walking always with us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you for this short psalm, reminding us to trust in you in all the things that we have, our burdens, our cares, our fears, our anxieties, our plans. Help us to learn to delight ourselves in the Lord. Help us to find joy in communing with you more than with the world. Help us to cast all our cares upon you knowing that you care for us. And Lord, we pray that you will also teach us to commit our ways unto thee, that we will be able to see how you will unveil all your great and precious promises, and to fulfill our desires that will be in tune with yours in this coming year. So Lord, help us to go into the new year with expectancy, not in our own abilities, but in expectancy and confidence, because we know that thou art already there, and our Lord Jesus will continue to be our great high priest and advocate in all the days of our lives. For we ask and pray all these in Jesus' name. Amen.